This morning, I'm excited to introduce Inspiration Ministries. They share with us the last couple of years. It's just a great morning. It's a great service. And so, Andy, why don't you make your way up here? We're so excited to have you guys. We're thankful for you. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do this morning. So, thanks, Andy.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Matt. Yeah. Well, hallelujah. Good morning. It is so nice to be here, and we're excited to worship with you. I think this is our third time here. And so, do you guys remember us coming the last couple years? Yes, hallelujah. Some of you seem pretty excited about that. I hope you're really excited, because we're excited about what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing in the lives of these men and women and how that trickles in to our community. And Harvest has been a great partner. Thank you, Pastor Paul, and the leadership here, and Matt. You guys have been incredibly generous with your time, your energy. You guys have driven up to Butler and brought meals. Some of you are mentors, and you're going to hear something pretty soon that maybe makes the drive not quite so long. So we're going to share that with you here in just a few minutes. But again, my name is Andy. I'm the founder of Inspiration Ministries. And the story that we have, it's an awesome story, but it's not a real long story. The short of it is this. I was in jail 18 years ago, and I was introduced to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, period. That's about the end of the story. I mean, it was, you know, I didn't have to be convinced. I didn't have to think, oh, is this what I want to do? I was the guy that read the newspaper and knew what they all said about my life. And it said, Andrew Foster's life is over as he knows it. And then a man came to me in an 8x8 room and said, Andy, I have come to tell you about a guy named Jesus. A guy that shed his blood for you. That says that he can make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm all in. I signed up right there, and it would have been cool if they would have said, like, set the captives free. I remember reading that, and they would have just let me out of jail. Didn't happen. And him going to prison for 5 years and experiencing all that has to do as a believer, trying to hold on to the fact that God had called me for a purpose, that he gave me a new name. He gave me this word, inspiration, just like this in this block letters. And he said, Andy, I want to use you to reach the least, the last, and the lost. And that started in prison. And the 150-pound, soaking wet, nerdy white boy in prison told everybody about Jesus. And it was awesome. And then they let me out. And I returned back to DeKalb County in Auburn and said, God, I know what you did and my life is real. What do I do now? And God moved and he opened up doors that I could have never imagined, more than I could ever ask or think. And somewhere down the line, we opened up a house and we thought, man, people need to be stabilized. They need to know Jesus. They need help. Because everything I read is saying that they just get out and go back. And somewhere the world defined this like hamster wheel that people just like, they just run around in. They take a break every once in a while and I'm clean for a few months or did my vacation in jail or prison, but then they just kind of like get back in and they just, it's just like this. And I was like, this is horrible. This is a lie from the pits of hell. It doesn't have to be this way. The Jesus that I came to know can absolutely transform our lives. He can set us free from drugs and alcohol. He can set us free from bondage. And more than that, he can restore our lives. That's the Jesus that I came to know. So we started a house believing that God can completely transform people's lives. And because of his faithfulness, one house turned into two, and then 10, and then more. And God has been doing it here in Northeast Indiana with Inspiration Ministries, about 160 beds. In Northeast Indiana, seeing lives transform. Forty people graduating a 9-month program, over 200 in just the last few years. It's been unbelievable. Crazy. I mean, crazy, super crazy. because it doesn't leave me very often that I was a guy that just got out 15 years. I'm celebrating being out of prison for 15 years in 10 days, something like that. Celebrating 15 years of being out. Just a guy that said, yeah, Jesus, if you're willing, you have my life, you have my will, whatever you want to do. And he has been so faithful. And so a couple of things that I want to share with you. You know, one, we just want you to continue to be engaged. Find a way in. And so number one, we have a praise celebration next Friday. It's our big event. It's at the Miro Center. We saved some seats for you because we knew we were coming to see you only like 6 days before it. So we saved some seats. So if you want to go, let us know. We want to make sure that you can join, but it's awesome. It's a great event talking about all the things that God has done. And number two, I'm really excited to share with you something that's happening in Allen County. You know, we've been praying. People have been asking us for years. We've come here. I remember a couple years ago, the first time we came, you know, you guys were excited, man. They were like, that guy's got a lot of energy. This is really cool. And then you came out to the table and you were like, hey, where are your houses in Allen County? And I was like, we don't have any. And they're like, oh, well, where do we go? Well, Butler and Kendallville. And you're like, oh, okay, that's cool. And so we've been praying. We're like, Allen County, God, if you want us down there. And some people would be like, hey, do you want this house in downtown Fort Wayne? Or there's this opportunity. And we're like, I don't know. Downtown Fort Wayne, I don't know if that's really our speed. I don't know if that's our thing. I don't know. And we do housing. So it's not like this small thing, right? We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars to develop housing and do these things. So anyways, in the spring, we became aware of this property in Huntertown. Do you guys know Huntertown's in Allen County? It was news to me. And I was like, Huntertown, okay, that's interesting. Hey, there's this big house. Don tells me. I had this phone conversation. I'm like, okay, cool, sure. And then I go visit this house and I'm like, whoa, this is pretty big. This is wild. What do we got to pay for this? And he says that this ministry had been using this house for several years. And they were kind of at the end of their life cycle. 12,000 square foot house. And they've been praying for the last 5 years for a ministry to transfer ownership to. They wanted a ministry that was kingdom minded, that was, you know, wanted to kick butt for Jesus. And so we started talking to them in the spring and we found out that we were one of like 70 ministries over the last 5 years that they were talking to. And I was like, well, Lord, man, you got to move. This is like pretty cool though. And just 6-8 weeks ago, their board unanimously voted to transfer ownership of this property to Inspiration Ministries right here in Huntertown. It's crazy, crazy. 20 dudes, 20 to 24, easy. Huge home, activity barn in the back. We've been praying about how to make an entrance into Allen County. You know, God, how do we get here? And he has done more than we could ever ask or think. I mean, we don't have to go remodel this thing. It's in incredible shape. And so genuinely, as early as this spring, we're looking at opening up the Heritage House. So Matt came and visited us on Friday, jumped in his car in this parking lot, took him 10 minutes to get there. That's nice, isn't it? 10 minutes. You don't have to drive 40 minutes to Butler, even though I still need some people to maybe drive to Butler every once in a while, okay? But there is opportunity. So, you know, we're gonna worship, we're gonna do our thing, but if you are interested, there is opportunity to engage. I mean it. Like we have people teach classes, we have mentors, we have people that are transporting people. We do a lot. And my list of things in Allen County is only this long so far. That's it, I'm still meeting people. And so we need help. So grab some information, grab our number, find out how you can participate. But I'm telling you, man, we are super duper excited about what God is gonna do and he wants you to be a part of it. And so I want to introduce you to our men and women. I'm going to ask the choir to go ahead and make their way up. Would you give them a hand, please? Hallelujah. It's a lot of them. Might take a minute. If you feel like I'm yelling at you, I promise that this is just how I talk. This is how it is. So don't be offended. I get really excited about what God's doing. I want to invite you to worship with us this morning. This isn't a concert. We're not recording this and selling CDs, okay? Like, we want you to worship with us. You can stand to your feet during the songs if you'd like. But we want to worship with you. We want you to see. You're going to hear some testimony. We just want you to see it. We want you to see it. We started doing this a few years ago because I visited churches, and I can tell the story all day long about what God's done. And Don and Michelle, we can sit here and say, God's created this program, and it's transforming lives. It's awesome. But these are the men and women that we serve. And we love them, and we care for them, and they walk into these homes, and they get hugged 50 times, and we let them know that Jesus can absolutely do it in their lives. We're a ministry that believes that. And so I want you to see them. I want you to, as we worship, you can pray for them, you can see them, you can see them afterwards. But God is doing a remarkable thing. I'm so thankful for these men and women. You know, Ronnie, he's our director. He graduated a couple years ago. He sang last year. I don't know if you remember that. Talented musician. But he's our director now. Some of our soloists, some of these people have graduated. They become certified peers in the state of Indiana, are working as case managers. You're going to hear a story today that says, yes, there's nothing more important to us than you knowing Jesus. Nothing. And number two, yeah, stop doing drugs. Stop doing drugs. It's bad. But then there's all the other things. These are moms and dads. They're sons and daughters. They're trying to get their lives straight. They're trying to get their driver's licenses. They're looking for people that will hire them, that maybe have to take a little bit of a chance. Can I tell you something? You take that chance, I promise you, it will be worth it. These men and women are being restored, and we are blessed every day to see God transform their lives. And so that's what you're going to see today. It's what you're going to hear. And so we do, please worship with us. Just believe that God can and he will do it in their lives, but also in yours. Amen. Hallelujah. The first song we're going to sing is called If I Got Jesus, and our soloist is Mr. William Buck. Thank you.
If I got Jesus, I've got all that I could ever need. Take the world away from me, and I'll be okay. If I got Jesus, there's a hope that's living deep inside. Joy that I could ever have, and so place to fall. If I got Jesus, I've got it all. My name is William Buck, and I've got Jesus. He's my rock. He's my foundation. He's a very present help in a time of trouble. Amen.
It is so good to be here this morning with Harvest Fellowship. Thank you for the invitation and having us. This is our third year. I think Andy and Matt mentioned that. And it is our privilege. I heard that if you have Jesus, you have it all. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Amen. Well, listen, Harvest Fellowship, what a great partner. You guys have been such an not only a support, but an encouragement to us as a ministry. And more than anything, you've been our friends. And I appreciate that to not only the men and women we serve, but to Andy and I, the staff. And we have, you know, over the years, we have over 30 staff now in the partnerships with our churches, and you folks in particular. It just means a ton to us. I have a scripture that kind of reminds me of it. I was reading yesterday. Makes me think about our partnership in the body of Christ and how important it is. And this comes out of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25. That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And we feel that care from you. If one member suffers, then all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And so we do rejoice together, and we worship together this morning. So thank you again for just your care and your concern for us. You know, who has not ever heard of Inspiration Ministry? This is the first time you've ever been exposed to or heard or anything. Anybody brand new? Three of you? Okay, awesome. A few of you, but here's a quick overview. Inspiration Ministry, we have four campuses, three campuses for men and a campus for women, and that's a nine-month intensive program. Comprehensive, broken into three phases. And these men and women start off in a blackout period, meaning no phone, no job, no passes. Some think no fun. But it's great. And many, I said this in the first service, many, though, will reflect back on that 45-day blackout period and miss it because they realize it was really just a great time where they have to just learn to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is and just wrestle with some of the things that they're trying to put in the past. And it's great. So three phases, and then it wraps up in the third phase. And really, with their case managers, that's the time they're focused on what's it going to be like when we complete the program after 9 months. Where am I going to stay? Where am I going to go to? How am I going to hang on to all that's been built in me over the last 9 months? And where am I going to live? Who knows, housing has been a challenging thing in society the last several years. Well, if you have a drug conviction or a felony on your record, guess what? Housing is extremely difficult. In fact, I would say that the place that you could end up is maybe the place that you might not want to be. So the other component of the ministry is our graduate housing, and that's probably makes up another 10 properties. And again, Andy said we serve about 160 men and women in housing, both in the program and in our supportive housing afterwards. So that's been incredible because what it does is, it, like all of us, it keeps us in community. Is anybody aware that when we kind of disengage from community and we withdraw, then that's maybe not the healthiest thing for us? We know that. So now, of course, expanding that footprint in properties and serving more men and women. And again, as Andy said, we couldn't be more thankful and appreciative. I was thinking about, and I didn't introduce myself. My name's Don Harvey, and I serve as Andy's vice president and board chairman. And I've been around for 14 years. I started kind of at the beginning. I remember when I said there's 30 staff. I remember when there was just like three of us. And that was it. With an idea and dreams and visions of what God could do. And Andy had great faith. He had this big faith. I felt like I had little faith when I met him. Maybe just because I was just a churchy guy. You know, sometimes we have faith, but not great faith. Because there's something about somebody that's been forgiven much and has been loved much that loves much. And quite frankly, I just grew up with a lot of favor and a lot of privilege. I did, educated and grew up in the church, and it was just different. So I had to learn. My program, I feel like, started 14 years ago when I first met Andy, just a couple months after he got out of prison. And it was really never what I was going to do for these men and women. It's always been, and what it turned out to be, it was always what they were going to do for me and what God did in my life. That's part of my journey. Because I knew, well, I didn't know going into it, but I figured out pretty quick there's a risk to be taken when you step into ministry like this. There's a price to be paid. There's a sacrifice to be made, and there's suffering to endure. But it is 1,000% worth it. 1,000% worth it, because what he's done, you know. It's a true thing. You lose your life, you'll find it. And in those 14 years, you know, I'm still in the program. You know, these guys will graduate. I haven't graduated. I don't actually like to use the term graduate, because has anybody here yet graduated God's program? No? Okay, so they complete one phase. We're all in different seasons. So for us, whether we're a staff member, whether a resident, whether a volunteer, we're all in his program. And he's doing things in us and through us every day. And it's the same thing with them. One last thing I want to read, because it also reminds me a little bit of a heart of these men and women that we serve. And we use the term the last and the lost. Some say the leftovers and the left behinds. But it's this. It's out of 1 Corinthians also. And this is not fully in context, but I hope you understand the heart of what I'm going to read and what I'm going to say. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be the weaker, are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow great honor. I want you to know, and men and women, I want you to hear, you are indispensable. You are indispensable. You are not the weaker part of the bodies. And we want to bestow great honor upon them, because they are a part of the body, so that means they're a part of us, and then we suffer together and we rejoice together. So thanks for serving and worshiping with us this morning, caring about these men and women. And I've got a gentleman that's going to share a little bit of his story. Wesley, if you could make your way up to the front. And again, thank you. I'll tell you, it's not always easy for these men and women just to get up and stand in front of a bunch of folks, right? Does anybody love just standing up in front of people? So give them grace. Wesley.
Thank you. Good morning, Harvest. Andy keeps mentioning a word that really resonates with me. It's transform. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. My name is Wesley Justice. I'm 48 years old. I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, in a broken home. I went to States Care when I was 5 years old. I left when I was 15 and been on my own ever since. Most of my adult life, I've I've spent 22 years of my adult life in a prison. I spent 22 years of my adult life in prison. I got out in 2023, and I've been to 9 rehabs since then. And then I found inspiration. After I got the inspiration, Jesus found me. And one thing I just, another scripture I want to leave y'all with is Ephesians 4:32. It's, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another as God forgives you.
God found me. It's as simple as that. Just like Andy talked about, God found him through a chaplain in a jail cell. I shared this also the first service, that this idea, I figured out along the way also that, you know, Jesus talks about being near the brokenhearted. And there's a lot of brokenness in the men and women that we serve. And there's a part of me selfishly maybe figured that if I could hang around the brokenhearted, maybe then I'd be hanging around Jesus, maybe a little bit more, a little bit closer. And so I'm going to continue doing that because it's worked out so far. I love it. Ronnie, go ahead and make your way back up here. Next, we have Ronnie's going to come up, and we have the song Made for More with a multiple number of different soloists. So, Ronnie, take it away.
I am free and forgiven by Jesus.
My name is Greg. Jesus saved me because I was made for more.
My name is Chuck and Jesus saved me.
My name is Michael Porter and I'm so thankful for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
My name is Vanessa and I was made for more.
I'm Brian and I have a life worth living for because of Jesus.
Well, good morning. We are made for more. Amen? Well, my name is Michelle Harvey. I am married to that wonderful guy, Don Harvey, and I am the women's program director, and we thank you. We truly do thank you. We are super excited to join the ladies this afternoon at the Christmas social. Thank you so much for just inviting us and letting us be a part and supporting our ladies. It is really, it is such a blessing and a privilege, a get-to, to walk alongside these men and women, and in my case with the women, just to see what Jesus does in their lives. They certainly do come from extremely difficult circumstances and traumatic pasts. But Jesus is bigger than all of that, and he works in their hearts, and he shows them, and he takes it sometimes piece by piece, sometimes moment by moment, to show them his love and his healing power. And I want to share some of that with you, just a reminder, because I'm sure most of you are familiar with Psalm 34. But I just want to encourage all of us today with that. It says, I will bless the Lord sometimes. When things in my life are going great. When the sun is shining and the roads are dry. No, we know that it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. And sometimes that's when it's called a sacrifice of praise. When we're in those tough moments when we're super angry at injustice. Yes, that's what gets my goat. And to have to stop and say, okay, thank you, Lord, that you are still on the throne. And that even though I don't understand, and this is a surprise to me, and I don't get it, and this is extremely painful, you know, and you still love me, and you are somehow working in this. And so I will bless you. I will thank you because you are there. And so I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. I know we often like to make boasts of ourselves, but we know that's pretty empty. But it's wonderful when we can stop and make our boast in the Lord and recognize in that humility that if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here today. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Are you seeking him for something specific today? Can I remind you of something that you have sought him for and that he has answered you? And can I encourage you and tell you he is answering even if you don't know or you don't see it? And he is delivering you from all fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. We just sang about burying our past and not holding on to shame, because our Jesus, our God, is not a God of shame. So let me encourage you and tell you today, if you are struggling with shame, men and women, you know shame, but let me tell you that is not from Jesus. He takes that shame, that very song that you just sung is true. When we look to him, our faces are radiant and we are not ashamed. These poor men, we poor men and women, cried to the Lord, and the Lord hears us and saves us out of all of our troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. And here's the best part. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Let's take refuge. Let's hide under the shadow of his wings. It's my favorite place to be. I have to remind myself sometimes when I want to go after it myself and go after people myself. No, let Jesus fight my battles. And he does. Amen. Let me introduce to you a lady who's going to share with you how he's fighting her battles and the great things that he is doing in her life. Dawn?
Hi, I'm Dawn. Okay, so I'm 42. I have two daughters, Michaela, which is 17, and Audrey, that's almost 15. I've been in active addiction since I was 16. I just calculated it as 27 years. I didn't realize that until today. I started out drinking on the weekends and smoking weed. By 17, I got into opiates and meth, too, but I was more into opiates. It was my thing I enjoyed. I didn't realize how addicted I was until I was 29 when my doctor cut me off all my meds. So I eventually traded that addiction for another, started drinking a lot more. As the my drinking progressed, it increased. I definitely had my ups and downs through life. I bounced back and forth. Like, I lost my kids, I got my kids back, and then I eventually spun out of control. No matter what I tried to do, I couldn't get anywhere. I was homeless last year at this time. I was living in a shed with someone that put me in jail for trespassing, and I literally was on the streets, and my supposed to be friend shattered my phone so I could literally talk to no one, and it was my breaking point. It was December 31st, 2024, my youngest daughter's birthday. I tried to talk to Audrey, my daughter, at the library, but I couldn't verify my account since my phone was broken. It was no good to me. So I carried my belongings across town, had just enough money to buy a pack of cigarettes and a cheap bottle of liquor. And I walked to the other end of the town, sat right on the main drag of Auburn in front of the bank, waiting for a cop to come by. Only had taken a few drinks of my bottle as I was falling asleep. An officer approached me and asked me if he could. If he could help me, I said, could you please take me to the NEC Cares? And he did. And he told me he wouldn't search me. And I had nothing besides the bottle. And I stayed there for 6 days trying to get into NEC to get on my meds. They were offering me to come to, like, Inspirations or Serenity House or whatever, and I was fighting, wanting to go to a 9-month program because I felt like I had to drink every day because that was my demon, was drinking. So I just wanted to sleep because I was withdrawing. I went to NAC for 11 days, and then I heard about Avenues. I was like, okay, I can do that, 30 days. I found out when I got there at Avenues that I had a warrant for Steuben County. I knew it was coming because I just knew because I had gotten pulled over with other people and there was marijuana in the car, so I knew it was coming, but I had just checked my case before I went to NEC and it was still good. So as soon as I got to Avenues, they told me, don't freak out, you got a warrant. I was like, are they going to show up and just take me or what? And they're like, no. So I went ahead and finished the program, turned myself into Steuben County. While I was in Steuben County, I missed court for Noble County. And so I did four and a half months at Steuben County, went to Noble for 7 days, finished Noble County, and then I told them I wanted to go to Inspiration. They told Inspiration that I was going to Inspiration, but they're like, no, she's got to file an application. And then they called it NEC Cares. The NEC Cares came, picked me up, and then I stayed one night at NEC Cares and then filled out the application for Inspiration, and then Charmin from Inspiration came, picked me up. And then I've been at Inspiration ever since. I'm almost a year clean. December 31st, I'll be a year clean. I work two jobs, and thanks to Inspiration, I'm on my second phase, working on going to my third phase, and I've definitely been working with my relationships with my family and my daughter. My youngest daughter she supports me and she's never gave up on me. And I'm looking forward to graduating the program and going to graduate housing.
Isn't Jesus incredible? Well, I'd like to introduce our next soloist, Josh Emenheiser. He's one of the ones that we mentioned as a graduate of the program and is now a peer support specialist and is a case manager for the men. And he's going to be leading us in Trust in God. And at this time, I do want to invite all of you to stand to your feet, if you can, and worship with us.
Assurance, Jesus is mine. has pulled me out of a fire and brought me into a place called light. God is so good. It's because I sought the Lord and He answered me.
For just a little bit. I trust the Lord, and He's answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. Sing that again.
That's why I trust Him.
I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's
why I
trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Hallelujah. Listen, guys, we are here this morning. We're not here to sell you on some gimmick or some program. We're here to remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ can restore lives. He can restore our communities. That the world's lie of that it can never happen, and that we've made our bed and that's where it has to lie, and it's just kind of always going to exist. I'm telling you, that's a lie from the pits of hell. And that God can do it. And He's doing it right now. And He's going to use these men and women. He's going to use inspiration. He's going to use harvest. He's going to use those who have sought the Lord. Because I have come to know a God that has never failed. And I am sure that He is not going to start now. So I pray that together, as we finish this year and we celebrate Jesus and we launch into 26, that we can believe in what God can do. That we can believe in a new thing, a new season. What if he just absolutely decides to change lives and change our communities? Can we be a part of that together? And when people raise up their heads and they say, I don't really believe in that, you can just say, you know what? I believe in Jesus. I believe that he never fails. And he is going to do it in the lives of men and women. And in our churches, and in our community. So I pray that in this season, for you, for your families, for those that you know, for those that are still struggling, that we will seek the Lord on their behalf. That we will know that we can trust in him. And that he will never fail. Amen. Hallelujah. Matt.
Oh, that was great. Guys, thank you for worshiping with us this morning. Thank you for the testimonies of his grace. We're so thankful for you all. We'll pray for you. So join me in praying for inspiration, the work they're doing here. And we'll be dismissed then. So Father, we thank you for this morning that we have to gather together as your people to be encouraged, Lord, to be inspired, to be challenged, and to be just giving our hearts to you, Lord. We thank you for the work you're doing. We thank you that this is a display of your grace and your mercy, not only in those that are up on this stage, Father, but everyone in this entire room. Lord, you've been so gracious. You've been so merciful with us. You love us, Lord. You have a plan for our life. You desire for us to surrender our lives to you, Lord, and to give our sins and our hearts to you, Father. So I pray that you do a great work in our church today, Lord. We pray for inspiration. We pray for this ministry that desires to bless you and to work and to be in this ministry. And so we pray that, Lord, you bless them in this next season. Father, we thank you for how gracious you are and how amazing you are to help them have this place in Huntertown to serve your people. And so we pray for the men and the women that are going to be in this home in Huntertown. We pray for all the ministry that's going to happen there and that, Lord, you would do a great work. And Lord, whatever part our church plays in that, Lord, I pray you'd help that to be clear to us and that, Lord, you would just speak to us. You'd show us, Lord, where you would like us to be involved and how we can pray and how we can just support what they're doing, Lord. So thank you again for this morning. Thank you again for this body. Thank you for these men and women. And we pray you just bless our week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.